Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand. 'Cause I got a hand for you.
Some pictures around our beautiful state here in South Carolina. Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final hour cranking up right here with you now. Mike Morgan in for Power Hour. JC Sherbert live from Chicago. And Phil Mad Dog Mullinax here in the upstate. JB back tomorrow. We've got some guests tomorrow, but I don't have my notes in front of me to tell you who they are. So surprise guests for tomorrow.
Who doesn't like a good surprise? Who doesn't like a good surprise? As we kind of reset here for the third hour, the Power Hour presented by Gary Patterson of State Farm for all you folks out there in the Midlands, 803-438-5000. And our friend and entrepreneur, Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence as well. Can't do a better job. That's throughout the state of South Carolina, by the way. As I know, we are heard from the Midlands to the Lowcountry to the Upstate and everywhere in between. And we appreciate all you tuning in to the ITG experience each and every day from 11 to 2 live, and so many of you listening whenever you want. That's the beauty of a streaming show. You can listen at your convenience with no crackle, no static, no nothing. Don't forget to download the Chief Sports app as well. For those tuning in late, one of the questions we posed near the top of the show, just kind of going back and some of our food sponsors and thinking back, the restaurant that closed that broke your heart, and the number of South Carolina entries already in the first couple hours. We'll continue to scour chat row for more nominees on that and maybe do a little Gamecock graffiti toward the end. JC has had some football news that he can update again as well. By the way, we'll have a JC and Morgan installment tomorrow. We have a good guest from Texas to talk about the Longhorns. I think that's going to be a fascinating case study, how they come in year one with one of their best rosters they've had in a while. Like, they, if they would have entered the SEC like 5 years ago, they might have finished in the bottom third. But right now, it's the perfect timing for them to come in. Steak and Ale, there's one. That whole company. Remember when your parents would take you to Steak and Ale? Like, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
That nationwide chain. Ruby Tuesday. There's a Ruby Tuesday that the whole chain didn't close, did they?
They still have them every
day. Yeah. You still got Ruby Tuesday. Yeah, you still got TGI Fridays. I can't tell the difference.
Ruby Tuesday has a salad bar.
Yeah.
Oh, Fridays doesn't have the salad bar. Friday, no, there's a fascinating thing on History Channel called The Food That Built America. It's the history of everything from fried chicken to hamburgers to hot dogs and kind of the modern day chilies, right? Like how that all started. And the harbinger of things to come, the initial one was Fridays. Fridays is the reason why you see chilies, Applebee's, and all those. It all started with Fridays in New York. And how they balance the bar, the flair. I don't want to talk about my flair. All the flair on the walls, like that whole motif. That all started with Fridays, like in the, I don't know, 80s in New York, I think it was. By the way, did either one of you guys catch the roast yet? The Brady roast? Did you go back and watch him?
I saw
the first hour last night, and then I fell asleep. So I'm getting there.
Oh, I saw what Dana was in the pot. I saw what Dana White said. It was a little clip on YouTube.
Oh, Dana, morning. Yeah. Well, they only gave him 60 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, again, if you're overly sensitive, don't watch it. If you're like me and you have a that kind of jaded sense of humor, I was laughing my rear end off. I'm not going to lie. It was unbelievable. Hilarious. And if you're Tom Brady, I give Tom Brady major props, man, because you know if you do one of these things, you're going to get eviscerated. You're going to get your feelings hurt. And there was some personal stuff lobbed at Tom that a lesser man might not have had such a good sense of humor. And he brought it too. He came up there and he swung it right back at just about everybody and got in a few good digs in with Belichick as well. That's personal. That's not a ha ha ha. We're all good now. Right? No, that's that wound is far from being healed. That is for sure. All right, let me just go through this quickly because I mentioned it before, and now it's even more timely with the news on Trent Noah, who appears to be headed to Kentucky, his home state. This would be my starting five. Saw a lot of people in the chat box yesterday going through. Oh, Phil did come on. Phil, look at you.
I was on the fly too. That's it.
Mad dog. I did not expect that. I always like throw stuff at Phil and sometimes last minute, and he's only one man. He's beyond one man. He's a Superman, but still he's only one man. And I was like, any chance you can do that? And once again, you exceeded my expectations. So, all right.
Awesome.
I like to play coach just like I like to play GM. Here's the Coach Morgan five for next year's installment of Gamecock basketball. This did not change with the news on Noah. Already had Jamari Thomas. There's my point guard. 6 feet. Okay. A senior. My starting two guard. You got to be pretty special to start as a freshman two guard in the SEC. Cam Thomas is special. 6'6" freshman. I'm all about it. I had Zachary Davis at 6'7", and then I was told by a very good source, actually, he's 6'8 and a half, Mike. He's grown. So I'm going to call him 6'9 in sneakers.
Yeah.
So we got Zachary Davis at 6'9 in the starting lineup, a junior. Murray Boyles, CMB, 6'8 sophomore, who I think is going to expand his game and be even better. And then Nick Pringle, the biggest of the transfers this year from Alabama, solidifying rim protection, solidifying rebounding, solidifying a lot for a Gamecock team that could have used some help in the front line, a 6'10 senior. So when you look at that, Scott is, again, he's 6 feet. That's not big for a point guard, but you watch him, as I mentioned yesterday, and I'm team Talon Cooper. You know how I kind of had a man crush on Talon Cooper last year, but there were certain things that Talon Cooper did not have that, quite frankly, a guy like Thomas will have. Thomas is just a more explosive player. He's going to be a more of an defender. Doesn't have the length of Talon, but he's quicker, probably get more steals. A really good defensive player. The shot is good enough, and he can drive and dish. He's just quicker. He's just quicker, more explosive. If you want to know how small guards can do, talk to Bruce Pearl. Every year, Bruce Pearl has a guard around 5'11", 6 feet. Year after year after year, he recruits them. I've talked to him about it. He talks about the advantages that the smaller guards have. And all they've done is won multiple SECs, gone to a Final Four. They've done just fine with smaller guards. So a 6-foot guard, but then think about this. Your two guard is 6'6". Zachary Davis is 6'9". CMB is a thick and strong, overpowering at times 6'8". And Pringle is a bouncy 6'10". That's a pretty impressive size line. That'll be as long and as athletic 2 through 5 as anybody in the SEC. So that kind of snuck up on me. And I just, the more I looked at it, that's unusual in general. And it's unusual for Carolina basketball over quite some time to have that kind of length in your starting five. Coming off the bench, again, Studi, Wright, Butler, Ugasuk. Now, the loss of Noah will open the door for some other folks as well, but just predicting here right now, those would be the first four off the bench for my coaching staff. And again, I like that starting five. That's not a rebuild. That's a reload. That's not a rebuild starting five. That's a reload starting five for Lamont Paris and company. So again, still a very good off season for Carolina basketball and something to look forward to coming off an NCAA tournament.
You know, it's interesting, and Thomas, when looking at his numbers, and for, you know, as small as he is, I mean, not that 6 feet is that small, but, you know, it is for on a basketball court. He's pretty scrappy and athletic. I mean, he's got some great rebounding numbers. I mean, it seems like he's got a really good nose for the ball.
Yeah, well, that's why I keep using the word explosive. And Talon Cooper, for all his strengths, was not explosive. He's not an explosive player. He was not uber athletic. This kid is. This kid is more in line with some of the undersized guards in the SEC that are quick twitch, bouncy, like you say, Phil, strong for their size. You know, he's next level athletic. I'm trying to think of he's 4 inches taller than Devin Downey. You know, maybe more in like the Aaron Lucas mold, if you remember him. Aaron was probably about 5'11", had hydraulics for legs, could, you know, do a two-hand reverse slam like there's nobody's business. I think this kid's a better all-around player, quite frankly, but I'm just trying to think of some athletic prototype where he fits. More athletic than Zam Frederick was, although they're about the same size. Sam says, is Thomas basically a more true point guard version of Michi? Absolutely. This kid is a true point. Who can score? You can be a scoring threat and still be a true point, and that's what this kid is. Michi was never going to be comfortable at the point guard spot, and that's why Michi is trying to kind of find where he fits at the next level, because he's not really big enough or athletic enough to be a starting two in the NBA, and he's just not a point. It's just not his thing. This kid is a true point. And yes, he was first team defense, MEAC, Jay Diz, no question. And I watched about 30 minutes of tape on him. He's going to be harassing. He's going to be a pain for opposing point guards. He's just the kind of guy that can turn you and the kind of guy that can get in your shorts and really just harass opposing point guards. And again, that was something that Carolina didn't necessarily have. Talon's strengths were different. He was so long that he was bigger than most guards, and that could cause a problem. This is a little bit a different way of skinning the cat, so to speak.
Yeah, Cooper Moore, a lot more methodical, I guess, from an offensive standpoint. You know, more of a director and kind of, I don't know, just directing traffic, if you will, and the amorphous kind of Lamont Paris offense that you see. But it'll be interesting to see how that evolves year over year with the different skill set and talent of this team as opposed to what we saw last year.
Yeah, and I think the offensive system is going to remain the same. I mean, that's kind of part of it, and you have to have the buy-in. But I think with this team, guys, you're dealing with an upgrade across the board. It's just as far as pure athleticism goes. BJ Mack was a unique basketball player and certainly big part of the team. Pringle's more athletic than he is. I mean, that's obvious. I would say that Thomas is more athletic than Talon Cooper. I would say that Zach Davis's was the most athletic, one of the most athletic guys on the team along with CMB last year. They're back. You know, so that's when you're more athletic, you can, I guess, more special things happen through the course of running that type of offense to maybe you don't have to melt the shot clock every time because you got a guy like Cam Scott that can get one-on-one and get to the rim and make a play, or your point guard can, or something like that. So I think that is an interesting point. What will it look like next year as far as a tempo and will they play games in the 60s still, that kind of thing?
That's a great point. I'm glad you made it, because I do think you'll see a little more up-tempo this year with this lineup. That was not going to be the case with Talon. That was not his strength. And so they played a more methodical half-court game. There's about 350 Division I teams in college basketball. At one point, I know, because we researched it for one of our broadcasts, Carolina was like 322 or something at one point. Like, they played a slow down game, but Lamont Paris will be the first one to tell you that's not necessarily what I want to do here. They want to play smart. They want to value the basketball, but they also, like every other coach, would love some easy baskets in transition. Well, Jamari Thomas is going to push the tempo. Promise you that. And you've got athletic wings, and even a guy like Pringle, what makes Pringle so unique, he's 6'10", but he doesn't play 6'10". He can run like a guy who's 6'7". So I would expect a faster, more up-tempo Gamecock basketball team next season. And I think that all starts with an uber-athletic, lightning-fast Jamari Thomas at the point.
Yeah. Does Pringle, what's the scouting report on him? Does he have an outside shot?
He does. I mean, you can't see the floor for Nate Oates if you can't at least, you know, shoot the three somewhat. Mm. I don't think that's what they're bringing him in for. But yes, I mean, if he's left open for a three, I'd be shocked if he wasn't green lighted or green lit. I think the number one asset he gives you is his athleticism near the rim. You know my thoughts on Josh Gray. I said it all year long. Josh was a limited player who played sparingly and did nothing against really talented big men. He was great at feasting on the road against Arkansas with a team that had nobody in the paint. But basically, Josh was a limited guy, a true plotter that you couldn't run with, and you thought like you were going to feed him in the post and he was going to make moves. I've been consistent with that commentary for over a year now. Heck, I covered him when he was at LSU. He's the same player. Mm-hmm. But Pringle's a different deal. Pringle ain't Josh Gray. Pringle can run. He can be more assertive. He will be more of a rim protector, and he'll certainly be able to play more than like 10 minutes. Like, there'll be games where Pringle might play 30. He's that kind of an athlete. You were never going to play Josh Gray 30 minutes or even 20 minutes, not on a consistent basis. Pringle could play 30 a night. He's just a better athlete, and he just brings more to the table. So as good as last year's team was, they got better at center. Murray Boyles is going to be better. Zachary Davis is going to be better. Cam Scott's a freshman, and I don't want to put too much pressure on him. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's more consistent than Michi Johnson. And then Jamari Thomas, I'm not going to take away anything from Talon Cooper. He was so valuable last year. But I think Jamari Thomas will do some things better than Talon Cooper did. And then, yes, you've got Studi, six man off the bench. Absolutely. Instant offense. Stretch the defense out because you got to guard him behind the three-point line. You know, Butler is a seven-footer. Again, I've seen Butler. I called some of his games at Mizzou. He's not going to come in there and dominate. That's not his thing, but he'll be a valuable guy off the bench. Almost will kind of assume the Josh Gray role is what I envision. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. You want to have depth in your front court. Asked about, I just forgot his name.
Was it Arden Conyers? Is that the one?
Conyers,
that was the most recent
was? He redshirted last year. Good outside shooter. Yeah. He was Corey Boyle's buddy.
Yeah. And look, he might Ugasuk's definitely going to play a role. If he could put on some weight and be stronger, there's no question he can add. And maybe Conyers plays his way into the top eight. Most teams have an 8 or 9 man rotation. We can talk about 10, 11, 12 guys, but when it comes right down to it in meaningful games, meaningful minutes are going to eight guys, nine tops. So those would be my nine. And then, you know, who knows what's going to happen between now and then. Some kid could completely blow up and turn into a much better player and what have you. But, I mean, again, I see upgrades at multiple positions from last year to this year.
Isn't Bosma's Verdunk back again for
third? He's back. Yeah, and he's built like a brick house.
Well, yeah, I mean, early in the year before Murray Boyles got healthy, he was seeing about 5 to 7 minutes.
He was.
And he'd go in there and rebound, you know. He does his job. Yeah. He's one of those, put him in there, let him draw three, eat up some fouls.
That's right.
Rebound, get some pushback. That's right. You know, he's kind of that guy.
He serves a purpose. Yeah. You know? And look, I can't project what, you know, six months he could be living in the gym and truly improving his game, which needs a lot of improvement, to be brutally honest.
Unfortunately, he's in law school, Mike, so he doesn't have much time for the gym.
Well, yeah, there you go. He's smarter than all three of us combined. That's a given. I tell you one thing, he's got time to get in the weight room because he's jacked.
He's on the college football referee plan.
Right.
those jokers,
exactly.
Those
yeah, he's filling the sleeves, as some of the meathead strength coaches like to say. Filling the sleeves, brother. Come on,
gains,
man.
gains,
brother,
gains. But no, it's I'm with you. I like this group. And I think if I'm Cooper and Ugasuk, speaking of weights,
yes,
I am living in the weight room all summer in the long, and I'm eating biscuits and ham,
living in the weight room,
whatever the heck. Fried. I'm piling it on because they got to get Cooper stronger. That was his problem last year. Weak. He plays weak. He's not strong. He just needs to get stronger.
You say Cooper?
It's not Cooper. It's Butler. Butler. I've called him Jordan Cooper 175 times.
That's
in the last
okay.
24
hours.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Put a dollar in the jar and we move on. That's all
right. Lord. Yeah. Butler. So Butler needs to live in the weight room and along with Ugasuk. They need to be buddies.
That's
and
right.
Start lifting and that's right. And lift their butts off. And I think the strength coach at Carolina still is the same guy Frank had. Greenwald.
Is it really?
I think it's the same guy.
I know they still had the same trainer from when I was there calling games, going all the way back to Odom and Horn.
Yeah, the strength coach is really well respected and good. So I think they can make some gains. I think Studi is a sixth man. Jacoby Wright's they're kind of probably co-sixth men. Jacoby had his moments last year. First half against Kentucky, four for three. I mean, he's a solid player. You need him because if you need to give these guys, you gotta in basketball. You have to sub because if you don't,
you gotta have a bench. Tired. Yeah, you got so. It's a grind. I still think someday we're gonna have 20 conference games, not 18. I think we should, quite honestly. But you need to have a bench to go through that gauntlet. I like the depth. Look, those who know me and you've been familiar with me, I don't sugarcoat stuff on this show. I'll just tell you. And I'll tell you how I see it in relation to the competition and the other 15 teams that Carolina is going to be battling against. I like Lamont Paris's roster for next year. They might not win quite as many games, but they are certainly going to be a threat to go to the NCAA tournament back-to-back years. And that hadn't happened a whole lot around here. Again, I'll use the phrase I used yesterday, blip and dip. That's unfortunately been the story of Gamecock basketball for far too long. Blip on the radar of success, and then the proverbial dip and back into the abyss. And Gamecock fans have been treated to way too much of that, and I think the current staff is going to change that, and I do think this team and this roster that has been compiled will certainly be in good shape to make another run for the big dance.
Amen. All right, so let's take a break. It's almost 1:30 Eastern time, 12:30 over here in my time zone. Again, JC and Morgan tomorrow morning, Jerry Hamilton, Texas Insider, my good friend
that I used to work with
for a long time. We do need to start talking Texas a bit on that show. We have some Texas listeners for that show as well, some Longhorn fans that hit us up. So if you like college football, you want to get an earful on the Longhorns and also the JC5 and all the other topics, please tune in tomorrow. It's also on the Chief Sports app. We are served by Chicken Cock Whiskey. We are built by the Barn Dough Co. Get you a Barn Dominium. I know some of you are building Barn Dominiums, and I know some of you are looking into it. Please when you're having your discussions with them, tell them you heard about it on the show. That always helps us end up keeping great relationships with all of our great sponsors out there. All right, we'll be back after these messages. Inside the Gamecocks, the show rolls on.
Mike here for one of the better dining options in the capital city. You know, when I first moved there, I asked people around the radio station, where are the best wings? Well, the consensus was D's Wings. That was then. Today, they still have the best wings, but it's so much more. Now in their new location at 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia. Yeah, they get voted the best wings on a routine basis. Yes, they get voted the best sports bar on a routine basis, but they're not just about wings, and really, they're not just a sports bar. It is a family-run local restaurant and bar with 20 TVs and 25 beers on tap. And how about these daily specials? Every Monday night at D's, you've got 75-cent wings from 4 until closing. Tacos on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. You've also got ribs and oyster bucket specials on Thursday. And no matter how big the party is, 20 or more, no problem. Just call ahead of time and they'll take terrific care of you. They'll do takeout as well. And guess what? A human will answer the phone and take the order. Billy and his staff do an outstanding job. Check out D's. 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down the Mississippi, and got to New Orleans where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And chicken cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton, and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Gamecock owned and operated.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream, and sometimes a nightmare. But at the Barn Door Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy insulation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Door Company. Gamecock owned. Gamecock operated. The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia, and go Gamecocks!
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What's up to the best fans in the country? This is Eli Jones, and you're tuned in to Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Go Cocks.
South Carolina away at Winthrop this evening. Looks like, what, starting at 6 o'clock. Last midweek of the year away. That's interesting. I wonder if that's like a home and home they just do every – we play Winthrop every
year. They do that. Yeah, Winthrop and Citadel, they do that. Mm-hmm. And then occasionally they'll – man, it used to be – I bet you guys didn't know this, and I'm pretty sure it was the championship year, national title year in 2010. Gamecocks played a road game at Francis Marion and lost.
Francis Marion,
dog.
Hey, I'm telling you. A college baseball road game – in the midweek, anything can happen.
Now, they've lost a PC before. Clemson got tattooed by Kennesaw State earlier this year by 15 runs. I mean, Georgia Southern beat the Gamecocks 8-0. I mean, it happens. I think if you could win 80% of your midweek games, you're doing pretty well, you know, in college baseball.
You take that every year.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sign up for it every year.
To his credit, that is one thing Ray Tanner was good at. He rarely lost. I mean, he'd lose every now and then, but they didn't lose midweek games a lot.
They were too afraid to.
I know, probably so. He hated losing.
I mean, every game was just – it was the damn World Series, you know. But that's the way he's wired.
What, Carolina's dropped, one or two this year?
Only one this year.
One or two.
If you win tonight, it means only one.
And
frankly, that's been an issue under Kingston and Holbrook before him. And I think, like I've said before, anytime you're successful as a program and then you start taking things away from fans, in other words, that they can count on, like I mentioned, Muschamp losing football openers. You know, Carolina was something like 16-1 in football openers. And didn't always open against the Sisters of the Poor. They had SEC teams, ACC teams they opened against. And then he started losing them. So you take that away, you know, the comfort of winning the midweek games. That's another thing where fans will kind of turn on you a little bit. But I think only one loss this year. Yeah, towards the end of last year, Harrison points out Gamecocks lost to North Florida. They lost to Charlotte. Brimling and Blake Jackson are on this year's team. I think had some pretty good hits in those games too. But,
it's amazing. JC, you and I do hits, what we call hits in radio lingo on other shows in other states and other markets. You do Alabama every week. I do Georgia and Florida every week and sometimes jump on in Tennessee and in Nashville. But, I go on the one Florida show and I'm not kidding you. For 4 or 5 straight weeks, questions in the chat box for me have been, is it time to let Kevin O'Sullivan go? And I just sit there and laugh and go, are you guys out of your mind? Well, we're not even going to go to the tournament this year. Yeah, I get it. Neither is LSU. Like it happens, man. It's baseball. It ain't football. You don't just reload every year. Football is set for where a guy like Kirby Smart, when he's got it going, for a guy like Nick Saban, when he had it going, you can pretty much pencil in 10, 11, 12 wins a year. That's not the way baseball is set up. It's just not. It's just not. And there are fans across these SEC schools that have tasted a lot of success that they just assume because they've had some Omaha runs that's just going to keep going every year. Not the way it works. Not the way it works.
And Coach Tanner, when he was there, I remember distinctly, he always used to talk about, when people would ask him about the consistency of his program, he would always bring up, guys, this is hard to do. This doesn't happen. This is really hard to do because just the nature of the game, you know, and what was the national championships obviously were very special. I think most Gamecocks would agree with that because I think most Gamecocks never thought it would happen, you know, right before he won those two championships, they had a national championship in women's track and I think one in equestrian and that was nothing in the trophy case. Right. now you look at, unless you count the NIT as a national championship, which we know Eric Hyman did, although Mike did have a great call in one of those games.
Hey, I got two NIT
the word
rings,
national
baby.
In the name. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's national. All right, okay. So, but no, as special as that was, and it was special, what was really special about that program was you go watch the Gamecocks in other sports, and everybody's always sitting around waiting for the other shoe to drop. Football, basketball, you know, it's always, oh, gosh. Just because bad things usually happen. The baseball crowd during the Tanner era from the Sarge and then over into Founders for the first few years was nothing like that. I mean, you would feel it.
Yeah.
I mean, Carolina could be down 7-0 in the eighth inning, and they're still sitting there hanging on every pitch because they knew. Yeah. They knew they weren't out of it. They were never out of it. And you never – there was maybe one season, like 09, I think, when they went to East Carolina and blew the regional. There was maybe one season where you looked at it and you went, you know, this postseason didn't go as well as it should have. But other than that, whether it was regional, super regional, wherever, you felt like they got every inch out of the potential of their team, you know, almost every year. Now, I did forget about the 2000 catastrophic upset to Louisiana Lafayette. I didn't mean to leave that one out. But other than that one, and maybe the East Carolina one, you always felt like, you know, the season would end. The boys gave it all they could, and they just, you know, they lost to a better team or they didn't have it. I mean, some of those North Carolina and Georgia super regionals they lost were to, like, great baseball teams.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I think being, you know, having a front row seat for it for 10 years and what was an unbelievable decade that shortly thereafter paved the way for three more great years in 2010, 2011, 2012. And I still have my 2010 ring. I'm very grateful for that. There was the feeling, and you could feel it both home and away, that this was a program you didn't want to mess with. And I think for Carolina fans, with some of the struggles in the other sports, felt like we found our thing. We found our thing. 100 years of football mediocrity and many of the same in basketball. We found the sport that we can look at everybody else and go, uh-huh, you want some of this? I didn't think so. That was the vibe. Opposing teams wanted no part of Carolina from 2000 on. Didn't want it. They were intimidating. And as you mentioned, JC, even the wins, even the years they didn't win a title, you're talking about postseason every year. Postseason every stinking year from 2000 to what, 2015? What was the first year that they didn't make it under Chad?
It was 15.
15,
yeah.
So, Chad, 15 consecutive years of postseason. Most of those were at least a super regional. Six of those were Omaha. A couple of those were SEC championships. One of those was an SEC tournament championship. All kinds of records all over the place. So I get it why people are frustrated. I understand it because you really felt like this is going to be perennial. Like it's never going to leave. But it's really hard to keep up that type of stretch, really, really hard, as all these other fan bases that have tasted it and realize, oh, crap, we're not good anymore. We are going to have
Ole Miss, man.
Maybe two.
Poor Ole Miss.
Maybe three.
Ole Miss had that one shining. I guess Bianco's becoming sort of the Frank Martin of Ole Miss baseball. Had the big run and – now they're back to kind of
shoot. If Frank won a title, he would have held Carolina over the barrel and milked some more millions out of them, and would have had like a lifetime contract. Like so
Frank Martin Arena, I think you know. I look back that you know, and I think that's the key for Kingston to kind of shake off some of the out of the moment criticism, because it's not really in the moment. The moment's not what's bothering people. It's the big picture and the feeling and the feel. And I think the more magical moments this team can have, kind of like that rally against Kentucky in the ninth inning, that was Gamecock baseball. It's like in Notre Dame, they talk about waking up the echoes. That woke up the echoes. That was something that one of Tanner's teams definitely would have done, you know. down three straight solo home runs tie the game, and then you get down top of the 10th, and then you come back and you walk them off with a two-run bomb.
Yeah,
that was Ray Tanner baseball. We saw it there for a moment, but it hasn't been consistent enough. But I think this team, when you consider last year's super regional run, which I thought was a good coaching job to get them in that position because of the injuries and all the crap they faced in the middle of the year. I think Kingston did a good – Kingston Lee, all those guys did a good job holding it together. And then you go and you can get a higher seed, maybe a more favorable matchup in the Supers and see what happens. But if you get to host a regional again, I mean, Carolina, it's rare when they lose a regional at home. I mean, I think they've lost two. They lost one 2021 when they weren't really supposed to be the host. The state of Virginia wouldn't let Old Dominion play at home.
Right.
Because of COVID. Right. And that was disappointing. Rain outs
and playing an extra day. And
then the first crack in the vessel under Holbrook was 2014 when Maryland came in and beat them at home. I'll never forget that game. That was because Maryland got up big in the deciding game. And so there were like four innings of what I call death ball. I've experienced this. The White Sox a couple of years ago, it's a funeral ball because – like the White Sox a couple of years ago, they're facing elimination in the Astros. And so I went up to the watering hole and it's packed and emotional, you know, because Chicago's pro sports. But they're always waiting on the other shoe to drop too. And all of a sudden, Astros have this two or three big innings. It's 9-1 in the fifth. And everybody's got to sit there and watch this thing bleed out. And it's like, ah. And that was that Maryland game. And you knew it. And that was a big moment as far as – because that was the first time, I think, in that regional, Mike, that South Carolina had lost a playoff game or postseason game at Founders Park, period, ever. And that was 14. The place opened in 09. So that was a good little opening. So,
you know, there really is something to be said about never following a legend. I don't care what sport it is, because hardly ever does it work out. Hardly ever in any sport.
That's why you and the chat box is going to tattoo me for this. They always do. I consider Will Muschamp a tragic figure.
Yeah, you've like a said tragic that before. Hero. Yeah,
because this guy followed Urban Meyer at Florida, and then oh wait a minute, I can't get enough of that. Steve Spurrier, South Carolina. You know,
thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah, it's like, well, I didn't get to follow Spurrier at Florida, so now I'll just follow him at South Carolina, which is arguably even harder. Although I think that's debatable, considering that the Gators and I can't believe your Gator folks want to change baseball coaches. You got to be very careful about with what that fan base demands.
Well, again, it's the fringe, though, JC. It's the message board talk show fringe. I don't think if you actually took a referendum on the entire fan base. It's like, you know, the moment Carolina loses a football game this year, you know, the Fire Shane Brigade is going to happen. Do I really think the majority of fans truly believe that would be the smart way to go after the first, we all agree they're not going to go undefeated this year. So after that first loss happens for the Fire Shane crowd, do you honestly believe that is the smart move? What is your brilliant plan to fire another coach a few years in that has had some success and clearly has some recruiting momentum? What is your brilliant plan that's going to make that a wise move? I think most fans know better, but that doesn't mean it's not going to exist. And like we see in so many other things in this country, the vocal minority get a lot of attention. It's how Paul Feinbaum fills 4 hours a day on his show. I think it's just that's just the way it is. But yeah, I mean, look, Muschamp, we've talked about this on JC and Morgan, because Will Muschamp and Kirby Smart had very similar trajectories. They both were DBs at Georgia. They both were becoming hot coordinators, and they both were in a place where they could just about name any job that they wanted after spending enough time, in the case of Muschamp, LSU in Texas, and Auburn, in the case of Kirby, primarily Alabama under Saban. You mean to tell me if Muschamp got the Georgia job, And Kirby took that phone call from Ray Tanner and said, yep, I really love D's Wings, and I really love Williams-Brice. The hell with my alma mater. I'm going to be the coach at South Carolina. You don't think that maybe Will's winning percentage might be a little bit better, and Kirby might not be as smart as he appears to be in Athens? Come on.
I also think Kirby Smart's grown as a head coach.
No question.
You can tell, like, with his hires that he's made. And
yes.
Sort of some
and
things
made a lot of mistakes, JC.
Yeah, I mean, they people forget they lost to Vanderbilt in year one.
And Georgia Tech.
You don't lose to the gold helmet teams at Georgia unless you're Notre Dame. Play Notre Dame.
Do I have to remind you of the fake punt in the SEC championship game, the second down and 26? There was a lot of criticism of Kirby at Georgia. Those first few years, it wasn't all champagne and roses, believe me. And living in Atlanta, I can tell you there was a lot of, I don't think Kirby's the guy. You know, this is Mark Richt 2.0. He's a good coach. He's a nice guy, but I don't think he can get over the hump. We need to get blah, 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 blah. Now, they stuck with him. They didn't listen to that. And Georgia has never reached the heights that they have reached. And now it's essentially on autopilot. Because, again, unlike baseball, in football, when you've got Georgia's resources and now you've got the recent track record, you are going to continue to bring in elite players, elite rosters every single year, every year. Is there going to be a year where Georgia doesn't make the playoff in the next five? I sincerely doubt it.
Yeah, it's hard
still
to see
only
that
beat Alabama in once.
Future.
Yeah. Still was like 1-7 against Nick Saban.
Yeah, struggled mightily against him, and I mean couldn't win the SEC championship.
Now
game
the one was big.
The right? one was pretty damn
the
big.
The one was pretty damn big.
Yeah. And old Nick was the GOAT for a reason now.
But well, I mean, in that game, Alabama had them down and all their receivers got hurt. Georgia coaching in that game in Indianapolis had a lot to do with it too. Todd Monken and Alabama tried to sneak this 13 D back on the field. Because they were injured in the secondary, and that dude can't play. I mean, he left shortly thereafter, and you could see Monken signaling in to Stetson Bennett the fourth, and they checked, I think it was Jermaine Burton who ended up going, ironically, transferred to Alabama.
Yeah,
on a nine route, boom, touchdown. I mean, mm-hmm. masterful coaching in that game. And Kirby's gotten a lot better. Time. You know, I think Georgia fans may get mad at me, but. I think every coach has to grow. And when you see Kirby now and kind of everything from his motivational speeches to how he handles the media to, you know, how he treats his staff. I mean, it's a night and day, not night and day, but it's an improvement. And we all grow at our jobs, you know, and I think Kirby Smart deserves every penny of that $13 million a year they're paying him. Yeah, I don't have any problem with them paying him.
Oh, shoot. We'll talk about this tomorrow on JC and Morgan. If he wanted 20. You give it to him.
Yeah, he's earned it. And that program had struggled for 40 years to get over the hump.
Of course. In fact, I'll give you a double shot of Harrison. Harrison's on fire here with the SC baseball logo. He says, "What two things. People are mad at Sully because Billy Napier can't win football games." That's pretty damn funny and true. And number two, I'm old enough to remember when Kirby Smart and Georgia were the biggest offenders of doing less with more in college football. That is 1,000% true. That is 1,000% true. Like, Georgia should have been winning national championships a long time ago. But quite frankly, their coach is underachieved.
Yeah. Harrison also says when Carolina beat him in 19, that was kind of a turning point. It actually was. That's the last what loss they've taken. Because you're in Georgia historically is good for a what loss.
Yeah. Well, what's his name? At three picks, right?
And no picks for the rest of the year. Got beat like a drunk, and then went pro. And then decided he's going to go pro.
Yeah, he turned that into a Cowboys roster spot. And
he
I don't
actually
think he
played
plays
for the
– is he?
He doesn't play that much, but he's on the team.
Is he on the roster?
Is he McQuamu? Yeah, he's
– I haven't seen him.
Now, he's a safety, and Will and then played him at corner. So,
yeah,
maybe he was a safety. Who knows? But do we have a break we have to get to, Phil, or no?
We got one more to clear out here.
All right, let's clear it out and get back and
do a final little wrap.
Yeah, I'll mention this Brad Crawford list and that we can discuss tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. We'll have some fun with that, right? Mm. Oh, no, we're not, because I saw who 15 was. JC's already. Back at,
only ahead of the guy that's not even there yet, huh? All right.
Right.
Wow. Oh, right, man. We'll tell you what we're talking about after this break when we're back in the Sonorama studios after these messages.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Cole Joe here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight off the bucket. Mmm. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning. It'll melt in your mouth. It's good on a cracker. It's good in a bowl. It's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well. And they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasports.com. It's good. Coach O signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer, just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show on this Tuesday. A beautiful day out here. A little windy, but hey, the sun's coming out and everybody able to get out there and enjoy things. Might as well hop on an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston. Michelle will hook you up. Be able to go 28 miles an hour down the road. We are, of course, powered by Electric Bikes of Charleston. Charleston Fitness Equipment right next door. My wife is still hounding me about this hydro rower. She wants one so bad. So it's probably one in my future here, guys.
I'll make you a deal. You get the hydro rower and I'll get the electric bike, because I do see a lot of people riding around on those. They look like a lot of fun. So, Michelle, you could have a twofer. You could have Phil's wife working out and me and my wife riding an electric bike. Ooh. That's what we call synergy. So more synergy today at D's Wings. It's Taco Tuesday. You got the carnitas tacos and the firecracker shrimp tacos. They sell them cheap on Tuesday, so check them out for dinner. And a sneak preview to tomorrow, one of my favorite. If this doesn't say America, I don't know what does. Every Wednesday evening at D's, West Columbia, 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. That's two or three people eating and drinking like kings and queens for $29, say, courtesy of Billy and D's. Yes.
Yes, sounds like a $29 dinner for one.
Well, it could be. Hey, look, Phil, when you and I are both in Columbia, which hopefully will be soon, we all need to get together in the capital city. We'll put that to the challenge. I have no doubt I could do 18 wings and a pitcher of beer by myself. I might feel a little guilty about it afterwards, but I could do it. You know, I could definitely do it. So that's over at D's in West Columbia. Yeah. I know when JC sent this text.
I don't know about
text,
guilt.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I'll get over it. I feel guilty for like
that's
an hour.
All right. Yeah.
Then I'll take a Pepsi.
I mean,
yeah.
People see me from here up. You're on TV, so I mean, it's a little different. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I got to keep.
I'm more at will to just let myself go.
Well, you're doing just fine. I got a wife who does CrossFit, so I got at least, you know, I can't have people going. Yeah. What is he doing with that? What's she doing with that schlep? I already get everybody in the free world saying I outkick my coverage, which I take that as a compliment, but I don't want to be too far outkicking my coverage. That's that would not be good for anybody. So JC sends this list. We can read things on the private chat. And it's from our boy over there at 24/7, Brad Crawford, ranking the quarterbacks. Now, I already went over one of these lists from Athlon, like, what, a month ago on the show? And I could see the scowl developing on JC's face. So when I saw this, I was like, please have Lenore Sellers top 10. Please have Lenore Sellers top 10. And then I saw 15. I said, oh, man, here comes the rage. So, JC, with that setup, I will yield the floor to Senator Sherbert of Illinois.
All right, so I'm not going to get upset about list season because it really doesn't matter. But so here's Red's post-spring practice. Keep in mind, pre-spring practice, I think Lenore's was 13th. Post-spring practice, Carson Beck 1, Quinn Ewers 2, Jackson Dart 3, Jalen Milroe 4, Brady Cook 5, Nico Amaleva from Tennessee 6th, Graham Mertz from Florida 7.
Stop right there real quick. I have no problem with those first 7. Here's where I think it's anybody's guess. Please continue.
8 is Connor Wegman from Texas A&M.
Gets hurt a lot.
9 is Garrett.
Have we seen healthy enough for making a judgment there? I don't know.
No, I think he's good when healthy. Garrett Nussmeier, you know, the reason Sellers allegedly was 15th was because, I don't know who's going to, you know, who's going to help him or whatever. But, I mean, I don't know. They got a new core of wideouts. They lost a lot of players, so we'll see. But Nussmeier from LSU is 9th. Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma, 10th. And it's all based on this patchwork offensive line they put together in the offseason. I don't know why we all just assume going to the SEC that losing 5 of your starting offensive linemen and going into a league with infinitely better defensive linemen somehow is going to just make Oklahoma just going to be like, just like they always were and scoring 50 points a game. I don't know why we've come to that conclusion, but we have. Brock Vandergriff had a good spring and went up to 11th. Blake Shapen from Mississippi State comes over from Baylor, 12th. Of course, he's going to, in that offense, you're going to look good in the spring. I mean, it's basically Art Briles air raid that they're running out there now. Talen Green from Arkansas sneaks in at 13. There we go.
She's about to blow, right, Phil. Wait, she's 14, about to blow.
14th.
I think that speaks more to Petrino than it does
to a familiar
Green
face. Peyton Thorne from Auburn. I don't know that. I mean, I would probably on its face have Peyton Thorne low because I wasn't that impressed. But there's some reason
even Auburn
why
fans
Hugh,
like Peyton Thorne.
There's some reason Hugh Freeze loves him. So I saw this sort of with was it B.J. Wallace at Ole Miss for Bo Wallace for first 3 years at Ole Miss. You ended up being right. We were all wrong. So we'll see. And then rolling in at 15th is Lenora Sellers. There's worry about weapons and depth. And he says he's thrust into a leadership role for 2024. I don't know why this is where I question the thought, and nothing against Brad, but because a lot of people do this. Why, when you have a 5-star quarterback like Bryce Young, who started his second year at Bama, and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, he's going to be special, you know? And you have a guy at South Carolina with a lot of tools. Maybe his rating wasn't up there. but that's superficial. And he's obviously got tools. You can watch him as much as you could watch Bryce Young back then. He's also about 5 inches taller and about 100 pounds heavier, or 70, 60 pounds heavier, and just as fast. And there was nothing about the spring game, like we talked to Mike earlier about, like, you didn't sit there and see him one hop it out there or cat up, throw it like Joe Milton, throw it into the stands. It was very kind of a workmanlike deal. So I don't know. I disagree with him being that low. I think, like you said, Mike, it's good after that top seven, which is probably what we'd all do. Shake him, put him in a box, and take him out. Right.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of question marks, both with the player, or in some cases, look, if Lenoris Sellers had Xavier Legette back, Juice Wells back. If they were confident that the offensive line was going to be much better than last year, we know it's going to be better. It's going to be healthier. But if all these things were given, then I believe Lenoris Sellers would actually be rated higher than 15th. So part of it is on, hey, well, he's a redshirt freshman. We don't know anything about this kid. And part of it is on, well, what's his supporting cast look like? Like, what's Carolina going to hang its hat on? They don't have a first-round wide receiver this year. Is Rocket Sanders going to be healthy? Like, that's what they're thinking. Now, all these things, as you point out 100 times, mean nothing. It's a list. It's a talking point. It means absolutely zero. At the end of the year, that's the list that matters. Is Lenoris Sellers going to be, I'll say conservatively, a top 10 SEC quarterback? And if you could grant me that right now, I'd take it, because I think the key to the offense will be the ground game anyway. I think Carolina is going to be a much greater force running the football in 2024 than in 2023.
Yeah, Brad and I disagree. Brad was all for Carolina taking KJ Jefferson, and I was like,
nah.
No, they're not going to, because Sellers is better than KJ Jefferson.
I agree with that.
Yeah, huh? You know,
I don't think Jefferson can hit the broadside of a barn more often than not.
Which is why he made the absolute correct decision to go play for Gus Malzahn.
Right.
It's in that offense. Right. He's going to kill it. He's going to kill somebody in the Big 12 next year. He's going to run them slap over. Anyway, we're out of time.
Enjoyed it, fellas.
We love the show. Yeah. Loved having Mike on the last 2 days. JB, thankfully, will be back tomorrow to keep us more in line and give his thoughts on the weekend. And certainly we missed him, but thanks for tuning in. Be sure to download the Chief Sports app. Go hit subscribe on our YouTube channel if you haven't already. I think 39% of our listeners that stream it on YouTube have not hit the button. Just hit the button. You won't be sorry. Just hit the button. No one will know.
Cost anything.
Just call.
You don't get any extra emails. Nobody will know.
No extra emails. It's just a little.
It just fades away into the background.
But we're almost to 6,000. I'd like that number needs to be a lot higher. But just help
a brother out. And for that matter, those of you that want to expand your horizons a little bit and be the smartest guy in the room, listen to JC and Morgan, and we'll educate you. And we'll have a great guest from Texas tomorrow. Talk about a number of things. The JC5, which continues to slay and crush each and every week. What's first pitch? 9:15 or 9:30? I'll let you guys decide.
I think 9:30. Yeah, just in case I have kid duty tomorrow.
Okay, 9:30, first pitch. Hopefully those on the Chief app will get an update this time. And we will enjoy your company as well as the thousands across the great land of America.
All right, for Mike,
I got a listener in Moscow too, so that's don't just want to restrict it to the continent. Oh, restrict it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we'll be back tomorrow on the Inside the Gamecast show. Also, like Mike said, the JC and Morgan College Football 365 with special guest Jerry Hamilton from Texas Football. Can't wait to get into more of this stuff this week as we move toward the weekend. See you guys later. Have a terrific Tuesday, everyone.
So long.